God bless you, choir. Thank you for blessing us once again and reminding us that it's you that we ought to give thanks to. And that's so appropriate for this season and this day. The topic today is a song of thanksgiving. A song of thanksgiving. Amen. We're coming from 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And it reads, "And David spake unto the Lord." And the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrow of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter his ears." Amen. Again, the topic, a song of thanksgiving. Amen. Our text from David addresses three blessings, primarily that God provides for each and every one of us. Amen? Yes. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just blessing us once again, Lord. Lord, I pray that as I stand here behind your sacred desk to preach your gospel, that you be with me, Lord. Be with me and allow me to share this your way and not mine. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. David is now an old man. David has lived a life. He has had his ups and he has had his downs. But he wrote this song to give credit to God and glory to God for all that he had done for him, for protecting him and for saving him. You see, there was once upon a time in his life before he became king that he was pursued by King Saul and his army. The text tells us that Saul tried to kill him at least five different times, but he was unsuccessful in each of them. And you would think that after he became king, things would be a little bit easier. But no, he still had to fight. He had to fight the Philistines. He had to fight the Ammonites. He had to fight the Syrians. He had to fight the Moabites and the Edomites. He had to fight the enemies that were wanting to take his kingdom away from here. So we think we have bad days. David truly did have some trying times. But each and every one of us have trying times. It might not be as to the severity of what David went through. But to us, it is severe when we go through. But we can stand today and say, "Lord, if it wasn't for you on our side, where would we be?" Every now and then, we need to write our own song. Amen? We need to write our own song to the Lord, just thanking him for what he has done for us. But today we're going to look at David's song. And as we see this, this is a thanksgiving hymn or a song of thanksgiving. And the first point I want to lift up is God blesses us with deliverance. God blesses us with deliverance. And look at verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord. Isn't it nice to be able to speak unto the Lord? Isn't it nice to have a relationship with God and can speak to him anytime we want to? Isn't it nice? And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now it's interesting here. Even though King Saul tried to kill him, he did not consider Saul an enemy. Look at what it says carefully again. The Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies. He does not include Saul in that because he had too much respect for the position that King Saul held. So he delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies and out of the hands of Saul. David spake these words unto the Lord. He spake this song in thanksgiving. And he recognized that it was God who had delivered him. He had been blessed with deliverance. David was not perfect, like many of us try to think he was. He had his pitfalls. He had his times of doubt. But yet, the Lord still delivered him from his enemies. We have our doubts. We have our pitfalls. We are not a perfect people. But we thank God that we serve a perfect God. And he knows who our enemies are. Even before we recognize what they are. Who is our enemy? And who is our friend? To some of us, Saul, we can consider him an enemy, even though David didn't, because Saul started out as a friend. And then he changed. We've had friends change on us. Somebody we put our faith in, put our trust in, somebody we respected highly, only to see them turn against us. What is our response to them? How do we treat them when we write our song? Are we going to say they are our enemy? Or are we going to name them individually as a friend who has gotten confused? He is delivered. And that's what God provides for each one of us. Deliverance. If you don't have anything else to thank God for, thank him for deliverance. Thank him for deliverance. Some of us have been delivered from relationships gone bad. Some of us have been delivered from workplace situations that were not optimal. Some of us have been delivered from health scares. Some of us have been delivered from abuse. Some of us have been delivered. And it's time to thank God for that deliverance. In the midst of all that David went through, not once did he hate God. Just like Job went through so much, but never once doubted the power of God. But knew that he would be avenged one day. David never disavowed God. David never did anything like that in spite of the pains of battle. But he cried out to God. And now as an older person looking back, he can see how God has delivered him a many a time. And we don't have to wait till we get old to thank God.
Say it.
It's just that when we get old, we got more to thank God for. Amen. Life experiences teaches us to thank God. As we look in the papers and see friends our age who have passed away, we need to thank God. It is not because of something we did that we have this longevity. It is by the grace of God. God has delivered us. The second thing he points out, that God has blessed us with protection. With protection. Look what he says in verse 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. Now that my is a personal pronoun. Amen? You see, in the Lord, we have a personal helper. We have a living resource. We have somebody who intervenes on our life situations and makes them come out different than they would have if we did not have him in our life. And you look at these next few verses, there are 8 metaphors that describe what the Lord has been to David. And I think many of us can relate to many of these. The Lord is my rock. What does a rock do? It provides stability. It provides security. There are times in our lives where we want to make sure that we are anchored to a rock. That we have some stability to carry us through. As a young man, I used to watch my grandparents, and they would walk one way on a nice paved sidewalk. But when they got to a rocky place, when they got to a dirt road, they chose their steps a little more carefully because they wanted to make sure they had some stability. Earlier last week, I had the opportunity to be walking among nature like I like to do, and I was wanting to cross this little stream, but I didn't want to get my feet wet. So somebody had placed rocks strategically across the stream, and as I looked and I figured to myself, if I can step on this rock and then stretch to that rock, then get to the next rock, I can get to the other side. Now, mind you, the stream was only like 6 inches deep, but I didn't want to get my shoes wet. I didn't want to get my feet wet. So I stepped on the first rock, and it was okay. But you know how when you do that, you gingerly step on the next rock and kind of shake it. The next rock was a big rock, but it started shaking when I put my foot on it. I said, this rock is no good. I'm not going to have good balance. See, that's what God can do for you. He can anchor yourself to him, and he can give you balance. And so I found another rock that was smaller, that looked like it wouldn't be stable, but it was a stable rock. Needless to say, I made it to the other side. My shoes didn't get wet. I didn't have to worry about being outside frozen. But I made it to the other side. I thank God for stability. Stability that you have. And that's what God will do for you when you anchor yourself to him. He will provide stability in your life. There's another thing by tying yourself to a rock would do. It will keep you from drifting. Amen. It will keep you from drifting. I remember when we used to go fishing in our 16-foot boat, and sometimes when we found a sweet spot, we would put the anchor out. But sometimes you'd be fishing and talking, and you would look up and you realize that you were no longer in the same place that you were before. You would look up and say, now wait a minute, that tree wasn't so far away a few minutes ago. What happened was your anchor didn't hit the rock. Your anchor was dragging along the bottom, and the river was pulling you through, the sea was pulling you through, and if you don't be careful, you can drift away. If you're not tied to the rock, my rock, your rock, if you're not tied to the rock, there is danger that you will start drifting away, but you will be changed by every wind of doctrine that comes by. There is danger by not being tied to the right rock. The question is, what rock are you tied to? Also, the rock is our faith. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do y'all say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And then some said John the Baptist. Some said Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter, who was always quick to open his mouth, whether he was right or wrong, he answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered to him and said, ding, 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 you got it right. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he's telling Peter is that your faith is the rock. Your faith is tied to me. And as long as your faith is tied to me, you will not stray. You will have stability. The rock is there. Amen. You know, my rock. Then he goes on to say, my fortress. My fortress. A fortress. What is a fortress? A fortress is a fort. It is a place made for defense. It is a place that you can go to and expect to be protected. It is purposely built to keep the bad guys out and keep the good guys protected. As a boy, I used to watch the Westerns. Y'all know the Westerns. Yeah. They'd be out there on patrol. And here comes the Indians, Native Americans, as we say now. They were in trouble. Here they are hiding behind wagon wheels and other stuff that offered no protection. But in the distance, there's the fort. And if they can just get to the fort, they will be protected. If they can just get to the fort, they will have somebody looking out for them. And as they rush the fort, there was always somebody on the lookout saying, open the doors, because here they come. And as soon as they get inside the fort, they have protection. And then they close the door, and the enemy cannot get in. I dare say to you that when we're talking about he is my fortress, he is talking about that fort. He is talking about that place that we can go to and have protection, a place designed especially to protect us and keep the bad out. Amen? It is the same back then, and it is the same today. Even in military campaigns today, they have fortresses. They have places of safety, places that they can retreat to, places that they can be reinforced, places that they can find rest, places that they can find comfort, places that they can go to. My fortress. He is my fortress and my deliverer. Isn't what God is to us? And then look at the third verse. The God of my rock. The God of my rock. In him will I trust. What do you trust? Are you going to trust the rock that is not stable and try to stand on it and try to balance yourself on it? Or are you going to find the secure rock? Security is what the rock provides. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. We trust in a lot of things, but a lot of things will fail us. When we put our money, a portion of our money, in that retirement fund, we are dependent on that to grow and provide for us. But every now and then, there will be a downturn in the economy. Every now and then, what we thought we had, we no longer have. We have to look at things like that. That's the nature of this world. That's the nature of life. We will have ups and downs. There is very little that we can trust in with all honesty. But there is one thing that we can trust. Is that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my shield. He is my shield. And we have to look at Genesis chapter 15, when after these things, the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I am thy shield. I am thy shield. What does a shield do? A shield protects you. A shield protects you. Again, as a boy, we used to have snowball fights. Y'all ever had snowball fights? See, it doesn't snow that much here, but when I grew up in places like New Hampshire and Colorado and places like that, when it snowed, we'd have snowball fights. And we would take the trash can lids, and those would be our shields. And, you know, and we'd have the trash can lid, and whenever we saw a snowball coming to us, we'd be like Thor or somebody, you know, put it in front of us and deflect the snowball. And that's what a shield is for, to deflect that which is coming to harm you, that is on its way to destroy you and defeat you. The shield is something that you have to protect you. And God is telling Abraham in Genesis 15 that I am your shield. That means you can go to where you're going to in comfort, knowing that I am with you. The enemy will come. We have to acknowledge that. The enemy will come. But if we have the Lord as our shield, guess how much of that will be deflected rather than get to us. My shield and my horn and the horn of my salvation. A horn of my salvation. We look at that horn of my salvation, and we think of the illusions of animals that have horns on their head. You know, there are sheep, there are deer, there are other things that have horns on their heads. And what are those horns for? Those horns are to protect them, isn't it? Protect them from the enemy. You know, I'd much rather come across Bambi than a deer with all these horns, you know, with all these antlers sticking out, because they can do you harm. The horn, you are the horn. You are my horn of my salvation. You are my high tower. You are my high tower. You are my stronghold. Again, the high tower is the place, is the fort in the fortress where we can be protected. That's the last place that the enemy can get to, is the high tower. Because first of all, we are above the enemy. And you are at a strategic advantage when you are above the enemy. So Lord, be my high tower. Be above my enemies. When my enemies come, you know, let me know they're coming before they get to me. But Lord, more importantly, you take care of them before they get to me. Because I know that you are my shield. That I know that you are my rock in whom I trust. You are my refuge. Refuge. What is refuge? A refuge is just that place that you can go to and just relax. It's a place that you don't have to be looking over your shoulder anymore. Amen? They had cities of refuge in ancient Israel. You can find that in Numbers chapter 35, where it talks about that. Where if you were accused of a crime falsely, if you could get to a city of refuge, you had protection. You had a guarantee that nobody would harm you within this city. Each and every one of us needs a place of refuge. Some of us are blessed to still be able to go home and lay in our own bed that we grew up in. And that is a place of refuge, because we had no cares back in those days, because we knew others were working on our behalf to protect us and feed us and keep us safe and comfortable. Everybody needs a place of refuge. A place where we can just let our guard down. A place where we don't have to be worried. A place that we know that everybody among us is friends. And nobody is trying to harm us. You see that? You see all of this that he is saying? You are my refuge. You are my savior. You are the one who steps in just in time to save me, and you save me from violence. You save me from violence. And he says in verse 4, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Lord, you've done it before. And I know you can do it again. I will call on the Lord when I go up against the Goliaths of this life, those that look too big to beat. I will call on the Lord when the enemy is at my gate. I will call on the Lord when those friends get confused and forget that they're friends and become my enemies. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I be saved from my enemies. And the last point I want to lift up is that God provides a listening ear for my cry. We are blessed to have a listening ear. It really started right here in verse 4. He says, I will call on the Lord. We have somebody who will listen. There's a lot of folks we can call on, and they won't listen. Amen. Look what he says in verse 5. When the waves of death compass me, when the waves compass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. That word compass means to be surrounded, to be swirled around. I don't know if you've ever been out in a lake or in the ocean and you bite off a little more than you can chew.
Right.
You go out a little further than you should go. And you kind of wondering, Lord, give me the strength just to make it back to shore. Lord, just give me the strength just to comfort me. When the waves of death compassed me, when they surrounded me, when they swirled around me, when they caused me to be turned around, when they caused me to reverse direction, when they made me afraid, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, when they overwhelmed me, when they came at me in wave after wave after wave, when I looked like I might not make it, when it just seemed like it was so overwhelming. Have you had that experience when you feel like once one wave has passed you by, you cannot take comfort because another wave is on the way? I don't know anybody who's ever turned their back to a wave on the beach, but don't be surprised if you're looking up and seeing the sky, because another wave will come by and knock you down. But we have waves coming at us. We have problems coming at us. We have trouble coming our way. We have enemies looking for us. We have all this. Sometimes it seems like it's just wave after wave after wave. After I get through one thing, here comes another thing. And they make me afraid. They overwhelm me. Verse 6, the sorrows of hell surround me about. The snares of death prevented me, or the snares of death confronted me. The snares of death was right in front of me. I could see my demise. It didn't look good. It didn't look good. But something happened. Something happened. And look at verse 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. That's something else we used to watch as a boy, the serials and stuff, and the little segments that they would continue from week to week. And every week it had the same theme where it looked like somebody was about to die. It looked like somebody was about to be killed off. Whether or not they were tied to a log going through the saw, whether or not they were doing something else, put on a river without a paddle, whether or not it always looked like that they were going to die. It always looked like that their demise was going to be bad. And then it would say, stay tuned and watch next week to find out what happened. But the next week would come and they would somehow be saved. They might be tied to a railroad track and the train's coming, chugging along. Who's going to save Paulina? Who's going to save so-and-so? We'd have all this stuff happen. But as I became an adult, I found out why they were always saved. Yes. Because the script was written that way. It was written that way in the script for them to be saved. My brothers and sisters, we have a script that is written for us that is finished, that we just don't know the end. We have to stay tuned to next week. We have to stay tuned to find out what's going to happen to us. God has written the script. We get in trouble when we try to finish our own script. We try and figure this out our own way, and we think we know a better way. But my brothers and sisters, the script has already been written. Our job is to call out to the Lord. He said, I called out in my distress upon the Lord, and I cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and the cry did enter into his ears. There are a lot of folks that we can call on during our times of distress. We can call on our family, and they can help us out sometimes. We can call on our friends. They can help us out sometimes. We can call AAA, and they'll be there in an hour and a half. We can call when we need help right now. We can call our pastor. My phone might not be on. We can call, but we need to be able to talk to the Lord for ourselves. It's okay to ask somebody else to pray for you to deliver us, but talk to the Lord for yourself. You know, in the last few years, there are some technology that has invaded our home. There is this smart speaker technology that we can speak to, and it can give us answers. And Amazon has Alexa, and Google has Home, and we can have these devices, and we can hook up the appropriate gear. We can walk into a house and say, turn on my lights, and your lights can be turned on. We can say, turn on my TV, or turn my radio to smooth jazz. We can tell it what to do. Many of these things have ears that are ready and primed to hear when they are spoken to. There are key words that we have to say. With Alexis, Alexis, wake up. You can be across the room and it will wake up. What do you want? On my phone, I got something called Siri. I can talk to and get answers to. It might not always understand me and give me the wrong answers. I was a few months ago, I was outside on a dark night back in my hometown of Aberdeen, and I wanted to know, can I see the Milky Way? So I asked Siri, what direction is the Milky Way? It gave me an address to Milky Way Lane in Raleigh, North Carolina. I said, no, that's not what I wanted. We can go to all these different devices and they can tell you what they think you want to know. But there is only one place that knows what you want to know. And that's the place that we need to call on during our times of distress. I cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. And I cried to enter his ears. I have confidence in the Lord, David is saying, because he has heard my cry time and time again. I have confidence in the Lord because I know that he has been my high tower. I have confidence in the Lord because I know that he is my rock and he is my shield. I have confidence in the Lord because I know that he is my fortress. I have confidence in the Lord because I know he's going to hear me when I call. I have confidence because my faith is in God. I have confidence because my faith is in God. I have confidence because I know that the God I serve is too smart to fail. I have confidence to know that my God knows my language. Even if I don't use the right words all the time, I know he is there. I know that my God surrounds me. I know that he is all-knowing God. I know that he is an ever-present God. I know that he is a powerful God. David knew this, and look where it got him. As an old man, he's looking back over his many battles, over his many trials. and tribulations, and God got him through.
Yeah.
My question today, what is your song of thanksgiving? What is the first verse of your song? What is the second verse of your song? You don't have to put it to music. You can sing it to yourself or you can read it. Each and every one of us has a song of what God has done for us. This is a season of thanksgiving. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. We just emphasize it a little bit more this week. So enjoy yourself this week as you stuff yourself this week. Thank God for all he's done for you. Thank God for the comfort and the homes that we have. Thank God for the safety that we have. Thank God for the stability we have. Thank God for the protection that we have. Thank him. Thank him. For he has provided deliverance, protection, and he has a listening ear. God bless you. A song of thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.